Hello and welcome everyone to Birthing New Earth, where courageous individuals are stepping up to ask the hard questions, look at the tough decisions, and make the responsible choices necessary to leave a sustainable living legacy of thriving life on this planet for the next seven generations and beyond. I'm your host, Kathy Forrest, founder of Celestia Forrest Institute, and we are here today with my dear friend and colleague, Yeshe Chodron. Welcome, sweetheart. I'm so happy that you got to be on the call with us today. Thank you.
Oh, so am I. Thank you, Kathy. It's so great to be in this setting with you. It's been a while since we've had just a one-on-one conversation like this, and to come together for this reason and to share with so many just really makes my heart sing. So thank you for this opportunity to get together.
I'm very excited. Yeah, so I want to tell everyone a little bit about you, beginning with a deep dive into hands-on healing practice of polarity therapy in 1997, Yeshe has been living and teaching others to live in a way that embraces both the practical and the metaphysical. Yeshe has developed an open-hearted approach to being of service that people seeking support in spiritual mentorship, coaching, or healing find to be clear, gentle, creative, client-focused, sincere, uplifting, and life-altering. Her patience and acceptance opens the space for a fruitful conversation to people of all spiritual backgrounds. Interestingly, Yeshe has experienced direct communication with Mary Magdalene since she was 6 years old. We're going to talk more about that. And has blossomed this personal connection through her soul communion, academic study, and deepening of self-acceptance. In 2014, Yeshe became the founder of a unique personal integration protocol called Magdalene's Touch Healing, and founder of the Magdalene Mystery School that she teaches annually to awaken women who wish to evolve intentionally with the guidance of timeless divine feminine brilliance. She's also an ordained shamanic minister of the Venus Rising Church, a Mesa carrier of the Pachacuti Mesa tradition of shamanism, and a high priestess of Mary Magdalene. Having shifted from a life of numbness and pain and overwhelm into a life of joy, grace, and enlivenment, Yeshe, her students, and her clients are living proof that we can all break the chains that bind us to our personal inner trappings and thereby change the world around us. And that by empowering ourselves with love, commitment, and courage, we can stand in our power safely and consistently to live the fantastic life of our choosing. Yeshe's loving support and clear guidance are potent additions to her ability to hold space for anyone's transformation. The ways she shares her gifts are astounding. Yeshe, I am so excited to have this conversation with you. I can't. Your topic today is, and it just gives me chills to say it, unification for the world. Whoa. That's a tall order right now. We all want it. We all want it. So please speak into the idea of what is your idea of unification, first off.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, and again, thank you for having me in this conversation. I'm really excited to just talk about what's important for us globally, you know, and certainly in the United States for this new world awakening and everything that goes with that. And it's, as many of us know, this is a challenging time. And that is what happens at the end of an age and at the beginning of a new age. And that's where we are right now. We're at the end of an age and just barely in the visioning stages for our new age. Mm-hmm. So unification. So I'll just go ahead and start with that. I came to understand recently, I don't know, maybe in the last year, that the backbone of how I work with clients, which is in integration, mm-hmm. is really about unification. And unification and integration are actually about remembering. And so, right? And I know that you know this, and probably many of your listeners do too, your audience do too. What is important for us to remember is the fact that we are not, pieces of a thing, but that we make up a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that we as one human race are a particular portion of the whole of existence, mm-hmm. right? And so unification really means remembering that we are connected, that we are one another. Like, I am another you, and you are mm-hmm. another me, yeah? Right. And so remembering that we all are in this together. No, it's not in this together. That's not the right phrase. That we all are this.
Together, yeah.
Together.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all are this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so unification for me means a lot of things. So one, I'll continue with the idea of integration. Mm-hmm. So it's important that we continue or begin integrating our traumatic experiences of the past. Okay. Integrating our emotions of the present moment and integrating our concerns about the future. And so how to do that is, maybe a topic for a conversation for another time, but why to do that is so that when we integrate, what it means is that we're no longer resisting something that is already a part of us. Our emotions are already a part of us. You know, the traumas are already a part of us. And so when we integrate, it means that we're remembering, right, that these things that are parts of us make one being, right. That it makes one us, right? Mm-hmm. And so the reason for integrating in my heart and in my mind means that when we are living as a being that does have experiences from past, present, and future mm-hmm. moving through in and out, or that we are a part of. And I feel like I'm saying words that may not even be accurate to the vision and the energy that I'm perceiving as I say this, but I'm using the words that I think best work for our right. conversation. So if anyone is feeling that I'm saying something a little bit different from how it sounds, trust what you're feeling, right? Right. So this idea of unification means that we are an integrated being mm-hmm. so that we remember that we are actually source. I am God, goddess, mother, father, spirit, God, whatever word we use for that universe, that we are that, wearing the clothing of humanity. And what I explained to my teen sister, she was asking me something about this very topic, and how I explained it to her is that if we consider when we see someone, like I see you now, Kathy, and I see that you look beautiful, as I said before we started, and I just see Kathy. I don't think about, I see a human being, and I see fabric on top of her, and I see some colors placed on her face. That doesn't register. I just see Kathy. So that's how we are as humanity. That's how we live. We live as a unified being. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just one being. So when we're wearing clothes, as I am wearing the clothes of humanity, that's a unified experience. Mm-hmm. There's no separation between the I am and the humanity. We're just one thing.
Right.
Right? I'll pause there and have a breath.
So in the big picture of things, mm-hmm. when It's like your topic is unification for the world. So the first question I have is how, I mean, the obvious question is how do we get there? But before even that, where does that lead us? When we talk about birthing a new system and birthing new earth, what does that mean for us to understand unification? How is that going to lead us into a better place?
Okay. So continuing with the idea of a unified self, into an integrated self, cultivate close connections, it's like we are integrating between one another for a unified human race.
Gotcha.
Right? So it's sort of like embracing one another, not just a physical embrace, but when we embrace one another, when we embrace the memory that we are one, then the things, the illusory things that seek to create separation fall away, right? And when we, another way to say it is to take other unto ourselves. And so when we take other unto ourselves, when we embrace other, there's no longer other. It's just us, right? And so there's no me and you, there's just us, right? And so when we do that and we allow those, you know, I hesitate with the word the phrase illusions of separation, because on the one hand, that's how it feels, right? There's these illusions of separation. And yet on the other hand, you know, duality is not a bad thing. You know, duality allows us to experience ourselves in different ways. So, but when we release our holding on duality, I think that we've become hypnotized to hold on to duality too much. And when we release or soften our holding on duality, then we are in that place of embracing and integrating with one another. And so just like we integrate our own experiences within ourselves, you know, integrate our traumas, integrate our emotions, integrate our fears, integrate everything so that we are one flowing being. And when we do that, by the way, that's how we're able to be present, because we're experiencing the flow of life as it is, right? So when we do that with another person and, you know, I take you unto me, that automatically creates a feeling of love. And of course, we do need to recognize love for ourselves, before we can recognize love for another. I don't know, before, I'm saying the word before, but there really isn't a before. It's sort of experiencing love for ourselves sets a foundation and creates an experience that allows us to then open further into love for the other that we take unto ourselves. So when we take other unto ourselves, instantaneously we feel love. And I don't know about you, but when I'm feeling love within myself, and then when I'm feeling love within this partnership, within this unification, it's really, really difficult to be at war.
Right. Absolutely.
In any way.
Yeah, absolutely. So this, I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. And I think it probably makes a lot of sense to our listeners. It's like, but this feels like way big picture. And if we were to bring this down to the practical, down to the everyday nitty gritty, what does that look like? How do we begin as individuals in a world that feels like it's gone to hell in a handbasket to begin to unify? I mean,
yeah. So, Yeah, my first inclination is to say suspend judgment. That's really vital in mm-hmm. terms of our survival mm-hmm. and thriving, especially within these next handful of years mm-hmm. As the previous system is being dismantled mm-hmm. and a new system is being envisioned and birthed. Right. So, so for example, let's see how, what's a good example. If we have white and we have black, and just saying that, those of us who are in this conversation already have brought up emotions around both of those two things, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so now consider on one side of your vision that there's whiteness, and consider on the other side that there's blackness, right? There's resistance to one and not to the other, usually. And for some people, they're at a place where they see things fairly evenly. And I still challenge everyone listening to go deeper and see, is there resistance to one or the other, right? Mm-hmm. So if you were to take judgment away, judgment is, this is good or this is bad. This is right or this is wrong, mm-hmm. right? If you were to remove judgment, what would you feel? You know, how would you experience that? Mm-hmm. It would sort of be like, it would sort of be like those two different colors mm-hmm. hold the same value,
right?
So if we remove judgment from our daily experience as often as possible, even just suspend judgment, even if you're too afraid of that level of change to where you can't totally remove judgment from your daily thinking, then just take judgment and look at it. Just suspend it. Just say, am I calling this good or bad? And if I am, why? And usually, if we're resistant to something or calling it bad or seeing it as wrong, I know that we've all heard this many times, but it truthfully, it does usually come from a past trauma of some kind, known or unknown. Mm-hmm. And so then we come back to the importance of integration of self, right? So if we're integrating within ourselves, there's a lot of judgment that's just going to fall away. And we just become a being having an experience or having a series of experiences, mm-hmm. right? And so I guess in practical terms, one way to do that would be to remove judgment. Another way to move into integration and unification and taking other unto ourselves mm-hmm. is to practice being. Just that. And so what I mean by that is practice in this moment, noticing what is present for you. What do you feel arising emotionally? So you and I, Kathy, maybe we feel a little nervousness about this interview. We want it to go well, and we want to send out a good message that's beneficial to people. So, you know, maybe our previous life experiences have told us, what if something doesn't go well, right? And so if we were integrated in this moment, and if we were just practicing being, we would say, okay, I see that thing from the past. Mm-hmm. Wow. And I also see this present moment where none of that is happening. And I also see that everything actually feels really smooth. Mm-hmm. And it isn't that we're ignoring something that happened from the past. We are seeing it right. and allowing it to simply be. Mm-hmm. So that's one way that we can begin to scratch the surface mm-hmm. of integration.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So then we start to scratch the surface. People start to begin to, and I think there's tons of people out there working on this right now. I mean, everything in the world has focused our attention on this topic. So people are starting to ask those questions. They're starting to make those harder decisions and begin to personalize all of this. Is there anything that you would share with them? Because then I want to jump into the Mary Magdalene topic, because I know she's informing all of this. But is there anything you would tell folks to help them? It's like, I can just, on the one hand, all of this is absolutely on point. It's exactly what we need to do. And then on the other hand, I can hear folks screaming, there's so much chaos in this world right now. I can't think about inner work. Mm-hmm. So what are things that you can, like little tiny tips you can give people when they feel everything in their world going crazy? How can they get to a point where they can even think about where they're judging?
That's a great question. Let me see here. You know, a practical way to do that is to put reminders up in our environment, right? And reminders can be anything from a little slip of sticky note, and that you put on, you know, your desk or on a wall or by your bedside or something like that. Or you can get creative. You know, we can do reminders in all sorts of ways. Mm-hmm. Like stones, I have a reminder here to be grounded, you know, to allow myself to feel the groundedness that's already here. And I actually feel like something that is really vital that I know that a lot of us in the spiritual community have talked about and do, but I think it's sort of fallen to the wayside. And I think that it's a mistake that we've allowed it to fall to the wayside is daily practice.
Yes.
So when we're doing a daily practice, it's sort of like, you know, the word practice, it's like preparing us for those moments when things are chaotic, right. You know? So, I feel like a daily practice, it's important to include some deep breathing, some type of meditating or quieting your voice, some kind of movement and some kind of stillness, both. And also some kind of questioning into source, God, goddess, I am, whatever we want to call it, great spirit, and some kind of listening. So that's my ideal daily practice.
Right.
And that's usually what I include. You know, like many people in times of chaos, my daily practice has shifted. And for me, it is vital right now for my daily practice to include time outside where there's trees, grass, and preferably a body of water. So, you know, we can each design our own type of daily practice, but daily practice really is the answer to navigating through chaos with some kind of sanity.
So now for the juicy question. You said in your intro that you've had experiences with Mary Magdalene since you were little. Can you speak into that a little bit? I would just love to hear that story.
Yeah.
I think your listeners would too.
Cool. Yes. So it's really interesting because I never thought of having an imaginary friend, because this interaction, this energy and essence that I was aware of and connected with was not imaginary. It was never imaginary. Mm-hmm. So, you know, on the one hand, I have in the past, long ago, had people ask, well, is that an imaginary friend? No, it wasn't an imaginary friend. This is, and I think many of your, you know, our listeners here will understand this too. It's not an imaginary friend. This is an essence and an energy that is just as lively and interactive as corporeal beings like ourselves, you know, like humans. So that awareness came around the time I was six, maybe seven, but probably more like around six. And it's, I'll just share a little bit about my journey, you know, between then and here. And, you know, as I went into adolescence, I started learning from my environment, the people in my environment, that, you know, communicating with other beings, other entities must be the devil's work. You know, this is something that's bad and wrong. And maybe there's something wrong with you that you're doing this. Or so a lot of shame started to come into my world. And so I carried a ton of shame. And then as I became a teenager, and mind you, I'm still having these interactions.
Conversations with...
Great question. Yeah, good question. So the conversations were more emotional exchange as well as imagery exchange. And noticing that there is a definite being that's connected to these images and emotions that I'm exchanging with, right? There's a source, right? And so then moving into, you know, my teen years and, you know, all of that, I became rebellious, you know, like some of us teenagers tend to do. And so, how my relationship with her shifted then, and mind you, I still wasn't aware that this was an energy called Mary Magdalene. I didn't know that. But then as I became a teenager and I became aware that, you know, there is a specific energy that, has a name, there's a history here and, you know, this kind of thing. And my rebellious side kicked in. I started reading about how Mary Magdalene was, you know, promiscuous, and she, and that's putting it very lightly, you know, in terms of what was said about her. I learned about how she is, about how she was less than and not as important to the story of those times. And, you know, that she was sort of a peripheral character if you've ever mentioned at all. And, you know, my rebellious self thought, well, I feel loyal to this being that I've been interacting with, but now I'm learning that she's this like shadow thing. And so I'm going to be the shadow thing too. And so there was a lot of confusion during that time. And then fast forward into my 20s and 30s, and up even up into now, you know, there started to be a greater understanding as I dove a little deeper into her story through Gnostic texts and through, again, continuing my communication with her. I mean, there were times where I was angry that she was still around. I didn't want anything to do with her. I wanted to disown this connection. And I think for quite a while, there was a quieting, you know, of our communication. So it's not that I don't believe that she wasn't there. I believe that the energy just calmed while I was going through whatever I needed to go through, you know, to get to the later point of where I am now, which is, you know, maybe about 10 years ago, I started understanding things a little bit differently in terms of, okay, Magdalene is not an insignificant part of the story. Mary Magdalene made it possible for Yeshua to take his great journey through the gateway of life and death and back. And without her, it wouldn't have happened. And of course, many other female figures, but her being his partner in life, his healing partner, you know, his partner in many ways, and her being the priestess that she was, you know, it was her that made it possible for him to maintain his consciousness through this great journey. And so as I started reading that and understanding that, my understanding and connection with her softened once again, and we got closer once again, and there still wasn't a whole lot of trust until about 7 years ago, which I think at that point there was a book that I was reading about the life of Mary Magdalene, and it was a channeled book, which I hadn't read before, hadn't read any channeled books of her. And I don't know if it was that I woke up one day, but at one day I just noticed that as I was reading, it was like she entered the my body with me, and she just came online, you know, kind of a feeling, you know what I'm talking about. Yes, you do. Yes. So, so it's like, she just came online. She just was here. And it's like, my consciousness is here and her consciousness is here. And we are in this body together. And so that happened. Like I had heard of stories of that happening to you know, yogis and great spiritualists in their early years of their spiritual path, and having it happen for, you know, a few moments or you know, a part of a day or something like this. When she came fully online, she came online and stayed with me in this experience for roughly 60 days. And I was, in looking back on it, it's like, wow, that's kind of amazing. You know, and I learned so much in those 60 days. And it was, I could feel, almost as soon as she entered, I could feel that her superpowers were sweetness and kindness. And that that sweetness and kindness also were not separate from her fierce mission on mm-hmm. this planet, mm-hmm. you know, to embody mm-hmm. love and presence fiercely mm-hmm. without wavering. And I could feel all of that with her as she was here with me. Mm-hmm. And so at some point, it was like she sort of just moved a little to the left, and we were no longer occupying the same body, but she's here, you know, mm-hmm. it's like she's right next to me most of the time.
Right.
Let me rephrase that. She's always right here with me. It's mm-hmm. just that I'm allowing myself to remember that most of the time.
Right. I hear you. For sure.
Right. Wow. Yes.
Wow. That's so beautiful. So that somewhere in there, that evolved into a healing modality. Can you speak into that?
Yes, I will. So I think it was 2013, 7 years ago, that I had that experience of her moving into my body with me mm-hmm. and staying there for a couple of months. And I was already doing some practices that I read about that were channeled into a book by Tom Kenyon, and you probably know that one. Mm-hmm. And so as I was reading and doing these practices, I started feeling all these incredible things within me, and, you know, a lot of different things that I now recognize as integration were right. happening with me. And so I kept hearing her urge me to use this with my healing clients. And I was like, okay, yep, sure. Yep. I'll do that. Mm-hmm, yep. A year later, still hadn't done it. And, and right. Exactly. And so finally in 2014, when I did start doing it, it was really amazing. I mean, the clients that I shared this with in the very, very beginnings, and still, you know, even now, but just kind of from the get-go, it seems like they were experiencing this integration, you know, and transmutation. So I want to speak into something that is interesting to me. I used to think about healing and as needing to be some kind of cleansing and releasing and letting go. And yes, I believe that a lot of the times that's true. And what this modality taught me, what I learned through Mary Magdalene, is that that isn't always true. Mm-hmm. So what sometimes needs to happen is simply an extraordinarily deep level of acceptance, like acceptance on the cellular level. Mm-hmm. And that is what integration and transmutation are, mm-hmm. And according to my intuition. Mm-hmm. And so clients began to experience this, you know, integration, you know, for themselves, as I was just sharing this energy healing with them. And it moves through the energy. So it can be done remotely as well, mm-hmm. which I've been doing during this time of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it just happened through me experiencing it myself and then starting to share it with clients. And then it just continued to grow from there. And finally, at some point it just came into, I would say probably about 6 months into sharing it with clients, it came into this flow and this rhythm, mm-hmm. you know, to where I found that I was placing my hands at the same spots. on each client for each session, which it wasn't like that at first, but then it started to move into that. And so that's where the protocol came through, is that I saw, okay, well, she's having me move here and then move here and then move here. Okay, cool. I see that there is a method to this flow. Right. So this is great. So that's how the protocol really came about.
Beautiful. Wow. That's very, very cool. So if people want to taste this, if they want to have this experience, how do they contact you?
So probably right now the best way is via email. And my email address is yeshe@synergyhealingservices.com.
Yeah. And I'll have that on your page. It's actually already there, so people can click on that. And then website is coming soon. And you also are going to offer a free gift for our listeners. What is, can you speak a little bit about what that is?
I will. So I created a sort of a 3-day series, and it's a 3-day dark goddess puja. Puja is, yeah, I know, it's really juicy. So puja, if for those of you who aren't clear on that yet, is a way of honoring and celebrating and offering. And it's a really, it's, you know, stems from Indian culture and spirituality. And it's a really beautiful way of sharing gratitude, of celebrating, and just experiencing the joy of something or someone, right? And so I do want to speak about the dark goddess portion too, because the dark that I'm speaking about is that place that we all can remember, we all have access to, that is before existence, the space before existence. So the no thing before existence. So that's the dark that I'm referring to. And in terms of using the word goddess in the title, Dark Goddess Puja, is that my intuition tells me that that darkness, that space beyond anything from which all things are born, is feminine in its energy signature.
Yeah.
So I use the word goddess as an honorific for that feminine energy. And so this Dark Goddess Puja is a 3-day experience where it's a guided meditation experience. In addition to, there's a little bit of journal work as well. And so I know it's juicy. And so this is the gift. So it's only available for free through this link. Otherwise it's, you know, there's a fee. But you know, as a thank you for the people who are listening and signing up for the summit, I just wanted to offer that something that's really juicy and substantial that people can really sink their teeth into or not.
I bet they will. It's been delightful. Is there any,
like, likewise,
if there, do you have any message, anything, you know, parting words that you want to leave with our listeners as we venture out to birth the new earth?
Yeah, I do. So right now we are experiencing a lot of ugliness on our planet, and we are witnessing a lot of ugliness. And what's really true beneath all of that is that we are one human race. And even though there is still present systemic racism against people of color, any person that is non-white, there's systemic racism. And in the US, it's specifically targeted towards brown and black people. So even though that is existing, and even though there are horrific things happening, and even though there are things that are terrifying that could be happening down the street from us, what feels vital is that we remember to engage in life and to remember that life is why we're here. And so, and sometimes I want to be really clear, sometimes life requires that we tear down a wall so that life can be lived. And so if that's what's being required of us right now, I certainly encourage us to engage in life the way that our inner guidance is leading us to engage. And again, when we integrate, we can hear that inner guidance more clearly. But to bring our attention inward is really the name of the game, no matter if you are protesting or if you are educating yourself on how to be a good ally or anything in between or anything else, whatever it is, it's really important to put our attention on that inner guidance, right? And to let our divine selves guide us every step of the way. So that might mean, you know, going for a walk in the park from time to time.
Yeah, getting ourselves outside. Yeah, Shay, thank you so, so, so much for who you are, for bringing your essence to this planet, and for sharing your gifts with us today. It's been a delight and a pleasure.
I have loved this conversation. Thank you so much, Kathy. I really appreciate being invited to the conversation and being able to bring all these gifts to the table. And thank you for your gifts too. This was very well led. I really appreciate you holding this beautiful space.
Oh, it was awesome. Thank you.